Here we are, episode 45 of the podcast, and we have the Hill Brothers, Maddie and Alex Hill. Alex is a real estate agent with RE/MAX Escarpment. Maddie Hill launched Niagara Youth Flag Football. He's commissioner of the league, and he just had 1,200 kids register for the current session. Maddie and Alex both found flag football at a young age. Maddie's coached two teams to world championship wins. Alex was a quarterback on one of those teams. And now in 2024, Alex and Maddie coached together to win another world championships. That was in Orlando, Florida. The sport of flag football is only growing due to concerns from CTE and concussions. And it's going to be in the Olympics in 2028 in LA. Hope you enjoy the episode. Hey, I'm Jordan Harding. I grew up watching my dad put on that suit and tie every morning and go out to successfully climb the corporate ladder. I thought I wanted to be him, but I was wrong. I needed to be me. To do that, I had conversations with incredible people to learn how they figured out this whole thing called life. I learned how they overcome adversity and pick themselves up when they've been knocked down. Now, I'm sharing those discussions with you so you can apply those same learnings to your life. Welcome to It's Not a Straight Line. Really excited to have on this episode of It's Not a Straight Line. We've got the cousins in the house. We've got the Hill brothers. We've got Matthew Hill, Matty Hill. And his younger, better looking brother, Alex Hill, is in the house. You know what? To introduce these boys, first of all, they're my first cousins. And they're not just on here because they're my first cousins. They truly have accomplished things that I've looked up to. Even being an older cousin, they followed a path even of our grandfather, who we love dearly, John Caravaggio, who's passed away. And I think you'll see a lot of the values of our grandfather and who he was come out in these two gentlemen. So you've got Alex Hill. He is with RE/MAX Escarpment, real estate sales representative, and also a coach with Niagara Youth Flag Football. Had an amazing career in his own right with football. McMaster Marauders, also as a quarterback, won the Flag Football World Championships down in the U.S. way back when. We'll get to that. And he's a volunteer coach with the Maddie Hills League. And, you know, over here we've got Maddie Hill, the older of the two Hill Bros. And Maddie is a recreational therapist by trade. So he works with some incredible individuals that at a rehabilitation center that have been, you know, coming back from an injury, where he does a lot of recreational things with them or takes them to a movie or the casino or plays poker with them. Really inspiring and engaging those people at a tough, difficult time in their life. And Maddie's launched Niagara Youth Flag Football, which has slowly become, or maybe fast become, you know, the top league or one of the top leagues in flag football in the country. For this session coming up, 1,200 players have registered. 1,200 players, just incredible. All around great community guy in the Niagara region. Gentlemen, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having us, Jordan. Super excited. Obviously, watch a lot of your podcast, and I think it's so fitting what you say about it's not a straight line. I think that resembles a lot of people in our family and like just how we get things going and we pivot and we weave and we make things happen. And we all have our own story and they're all a lot of unique ones. But what we have, like you said, I love how you touched on our grandfather. He holds such a dear spot in all of our hearts. And I hope we're making him proud, puppy. And I just know that we're all trying our best to do what he would be doing.
Absolutely. No, I'm excited to be here as well. And I mean, I think it's cool that you know so much about our stories, and also we kind of overlap with the real estate stuff as well as the football stuff. So there's so much that we can relate on together, knowing our histories behind it all. And it'll be fun to kind of dive into it a little bit more, because it definitely has not all been a straight line.
Have you two ever been on a podcast together?
No, negative. No one wants to do that. You're crazy. I don't know what you're thinking.
I'm glad we didn't have any other family members on this as well. We do have the best family for people that are listening that do know us, and the people listening globally, because we got a global reach, you know, they'll figure out who you guys are. So, you know what, let's kick it off here with the older of the two. And, you know, Maddie, you know, I look at your career, Matt, and just walk us through kind of what it was like trying to figure out your path. And I think back to it, and I remember you calling me one day and you're like, dude, I think I'm going to invest in a house. And you're like, hey, you have some finance experience. Can you run the numbers? And I got to tell you, there were many people in our family that thought you were nuts at that time. And you've come out incredibly in a great spot. And many people look at what you did and they're like, wow. What was it like going through college, trying to figure out your way and taking that initial jump into the market?
I think for me, and you guys know this better than anyone, I'm such a competitive human being. So, you know, I moved to Niagara. I had this good job at the hospital, still do at the Hotel de Shaver Hospital. Some real estate opportunities popped up at the time. And, you know, everyone was like, what are you doing? You're 19 buying a house. I was like, oh, at the time, $200,000 for a house. Like, this checks out. Like, I'm going to have cousin Simon move in. I got some friends that are going to move in. They'll cover the bills. I'm living for free. Like, how do I lose here? And it just kind of snowballs back to the whole competitive mindset. Like, I always want to win.
Matt, what year was this?
That would have been, we bought in 2016. So it would have been about 2013, 2014, it would have been, yeah. Well, 12 years ago, probably, yeah, so around there, yeah.
And you know what's crazy, thinking back to that risk, you know, let's just be open and transparent here if you're okay with it. So 2014, it's in Thorold.
Yeah.
What did you pay?
Sorry, St. Catharines.
St. Catharines.
So it was in St. Catharines, and back then it was $205,000, I'll never forget.
And what do you think that house is worth now?
Well, I watched it sell for the last 10 years, like five times, I don't know why. I believe the last time it sold, maybe 2 years ago, Alex will know better than me, but I think it sold for about $700,000.
You know what interests me? Like, what, growing up how you guys did, like, I don't know which one of you want to comment on it. And I don't know how much you want to get into it. So choose, but like your childhood and growing up and, you know, my uncle, who's my godfather, your father, and my aunt, who I love dearly. It wasn't always a straight line for you guys growing up. And I don't know if anyone wants to talk about that and what that might have taught you and what you take away from that still today.
Biggest thing at the end of the day is like our parents gave us, you know, essentially every opportunity that we needed. And we lived a good life growing up. But I think Maddie kind of early on saw the idea of maybe wanting more. And kind of taking those risks to open up more doors in the future, which I think was pretty cool. The only reason I got into real estate investing, as you know, is because of him. So I think it wasn't necessarily the need for something. I think it was the want for something more, which motivated him to take those risks that we weren't necessarily familiar with. We didn't necessarily grow up in a family where investing and taking those opportunities was common. Right, like you said, at first people looked at Maddie like he was crazy, and now everyone's looking back like, I wish I did that when he did that,
including me.
Yeah. Oh, we know. So I think it's just cool that it was more or less of a want in a bigger picture, and it's a long term thing. I mean, a lot of people also look at real estate. People hope it's a get rich quick type of thing, and quickly learn it's not. And that's part of my story where I got a little too invested at one point. And I think Maddie's a very good example of he wants more and he sees the big picture. He knows it doesn't happen overnight and he's willing to work for it and give it time to develop. But that was like a big changing point in both of our lives.
And I think to Alex's point, the unique thing was everyone probably thought I was crazy. And then like our family does, I bought, we did it. Mom, the banker, she's crunching the numbers. Dad's always there. Maddie, what do we got to fix? What do we got to do? I can remember a dishwasher exploding, almost me and Alex almost killing each other. That was our family. So it was a unique thing where it's like, you know, they weren't there, but like when push comes to shove, mom, dad, Alex, cousins, everyone I need, always there supporting me. And just having that support system in play was so pivotal in like continuing moving forward.
You know, I wonder, and I don't know how much you guys want to get vulnerable into this, but your parents got divorced. I know, Maddie, you were a little older. You were a little younger, Alex. And, you know, we don't have to get into details around that. And a lot of people get divorced now. But was there something with that that
you learned or affected you or changed you, and maybe not. But I'm just interested as a cousin, and I think the listener will be interested as well.
Yeah, I think in a good way, we were so fortunate because they have such a good relationship to this day that we were never in a position where we had to choose. We still had everything we needed. So we had as great of a scenario as you could, all things considered. And I wouldn't change that for the world. And I think I really, one thing I took was the importance of, you know, choosing the partner that you're going to marry and wanting to see that out through, because I think the marriage is such an incredible thing. And, you know, seeing it happen in front of your eyes where it doesn't work out almost makes you a little more motivated to make sure that same thing doesn't repeat itself, because history can repeat itself. So that's one thing I kind of took from that. But I wouldn't change it for anything, because they're both still actively involved in our lives and we're so lucky to have what we have. But yeah.
Yeah. And you are incredibly lucky. Your parents have a strong relationship. As we're talking about careers and life, and this is what a lot of the podcast is about, you know, your father had a very strong career in sales, and then he's been at a great organization for the last, probably how long?
15, 20 years.
Yeah. Been a strong example, especially when it came to sports. He was always around, always coaching you. Yeah. And you know what? I see how you guys support your dad now and your mom now, and you're excellent, excellent examples. And as you are both at Niagara Youth Flag Football, you couldn't have better examples for those kids. I know I'm biased, but I truly do mean that. I want to just talk about your mom for a minute, Diane Hill, and my Aunt Diane. Your mom was an incredibly talented person who gave her working life, well, and her personal life to raising you boys, and her working life to, you know, a top bank in Canada. We won't name names. But I always found it interesting how hard she worked and how long she worked and how bank tellers and even she became a bit higher than that just don't earn a lot of money. And then don't get a lot of a pension.
Yeah.
And I've always found that hard to accept, but I know your mom taught you many lessons. Is there anything you want to key in when you think about your career that your mom passed on to you guys?
I think with mom, like, she's always, you know, it's not a straight line, as your podcast says, but in life it is a straight line and you got to do things the right way. And mom always taught us that, like, no shortcuts, you know, be honest, do the right things. You know, to this day, she's sitting at home helping me with banking and accounting for the football league. And she's always been one. She's just such a leader and she'll do anything for everyone. And I've kind of started to learn that. And Alex does this really well. Like, when Alex started real estate, like, he's putting on events for all his clients and he's always putting money out. And I think my mom and Alex are similar in the way of, like, putting, not money out, but putting your time and your efforts and your heart out there for people to see what you're trying to do, see what a good person you are, and it always ends up coming back full circle. And if it doesn't, then that's okay too, right? And I think I've really learned that from both of them. It's really interesting, just putting things out there, doing things the right way, and it'll come back around. And, you know, it normally does, right? Like, it, yeah. You know, there's some that don't, and that's okay. But for the most part, it normally comes back around the right way.
Yeah, no, I think one big thing from her that I took away was, like, the sacrifice of just doing what you have to do to get by. You know what I mean? And there are certain times of the year where that meant two different jobs for her, and that it'll all work out if you do the right thing. So she put a lot of her time into being able to provide for us financially, but then also being there to show us the right example. And both of our parents have done an incredible job at that. So it's like, I think her seeing us in positions now where we're comfortable in life, we have good partners, we have good careers, we've achieved a lot in the sense of a business and a family aspect. That's what the prize is for her. But I think it just came down to her sacrifice of, like, I'm going to give up this time so I can make sure that I set you up on the right path. And that's something that I will always want to pass down to my kids.
It is so well said by both of you. You know, you guys have both gone in a direction in your career. Alex, you're essentially self-employed, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, as a sales representative. Maddie, your focus is on your league now. You're both entrepreneurs. You both experienced great success, and you've also had your failures like we all do. What was it like knowing what your parents' career were like and what they do now, and knowing that, you know, let's be blunt and straightforward, and I don't think Gary or Diane would care if I said this. You've both been more successful than your parents, and I think that's what generations are to do.
For sure.
But was there ever a situation where you're like, that's hard for me to take?
I think it's so easy. Like, you know, mom and dad are our biggest supporters. You know, they see what we're doing. And, you know, I was literally today I was with mom, yesterday I was with dad over at the house visiting Haley, my daughter, and my wife, Andrea, and they see what we're doing and they're just so proud. And I think that's what's amazing. Cause as a parent now, like with my daughter, Haley, like I can't wait to see her crush everything I did, and you hope the best for them. Right. And it's like, that's what being a parent is. Right. So I think the fact that they're just our number one fans. They always have been on the football field, hockey rink, business field, wherever we are, they're our number one fans. So I think it's cool. And, you know, Alex touched on this earlier. Like, I think it creates a little bit of hunger in you because let's face it, you don't have to be a financial expert to realize if you get divorced, life is more expensive. Like, you have two houses, you have two sets of bills, you have all those things. And our parents always made that work. So, you know, it kind of makes you realize with a family, I'm going to make this work and I want to get more going. And knowing we always have their support and love is what probably just keeps driving us.
Yeah, that's funny. I'm in an industry where there's a lot of people that are coming from generational setup. So the grandpa was a real estate agent. The dad was a real estate agent. The uncle was a real estate agent. And people get in and then it's kind of there. The path is paved. And I think my goal in a way is to do that if that's what my child wants. However, the reality is our parents paved it for us in a different way. Like, mom and dad didn't pave real estate technically for me.
Yeah.
They didn't pave a football league for Maddie.
Yeah.
But the tools to be successful in whatever we chose have, to this day, they still instill in us. So, I mean, it's a different type of way. Like, you know, there's so many ways to measure success.
Yeah.
And sure, from a financial standpoint, as they're happy, their kids have been able to accomplish a little bit more. But without the tools that they've kind of continued to give us, none of that's possible. So they, in a different way, prepared us for it. Now, you know what I mean? We didn't take over our parents' business.
Yeah.
But they gave us the blueprint to be successful in life, no matter what we chose.
Yeah.
And I think it's those life skills that translate into a successful business. Like, there's going to be people that have a general better understanding of certain numbers or market trends, that study economics, that may know a little bit more about real estate than me.
Sure.
And that's okay. But it's the other skills that come with it that I think allow me to possibly be ahead of where those people are. And it's the same thing. There might be other people that try to start a football league and compete with Maddie. And I'm sure he welcomes it. Because at the end of the day, the families and the parents and the kids, they want to support who they want to support. And the people that have been able to be a part of Maddie's league and a part of his teams, that's where they want to be. And it's not because he is the smartest person in the Niagara region or the best entrepreneur in the Niagara. It's just who he is and the skills that our parents have kind of created and put into us, which I think has gotten us to where we can be.
And I think if we'd be, I wouldn't be a great podcast host if I didn't bring this up, but can we spend 30 seconds to a minute on what maybe Grandpa John Caravaggio or Papa John Caravaggio and Mary Caravaggio, who we're lucky to still have us with us at 92. I know you guys are so family oriented and you really keep all the first cousins very close. And, you know, all of us are super appreciative of that. But I know because of where you lived and your situation growing up, you spent a lot of time
for sure
with them.
Yeah.
What do you still remember weekly maybe about them that helps you in your life and or your career?
Yeah.
So I remember my first job interview at the Hotel de Shaver 15 years ago. Papa drove me down there to St. Catharines. He would have been 80 something. He insisted on driving. He was always work, take care of your family, right? That's what Papa was. Nanny was the one that brought us all together. And I think that's what we all do as cousins. Like, we want to be together. Just the work ethic and also like the family. And, you know, I think we bring that everywhere we go. Everyone laughs. Like, you know this. We go on trips and it's like the cousins. Like, everyone knows who we are because of how close we are. And, you know, people laugh. Like, I can count like my real dear friends on one hand, but like if you give me a free night away from my wife and my daughter, I'm calling my cousins. Like that's who I want to spend my time with. And for me personally, I've tried instilling that in my football league. Like we're a family. And like generally with my football league now, like I love the people I go away with, like the coaches, the players, the parents, the community with our Nitro program. Like they're amazing people. Like I go away and I'm like, I'm sorry, cousins. I feel like I'm with my cousins. Like we have a good time. And I just really feel like our grandparents instilled that whole family involvement, that work hard ethic. It's phenomenal. And it's nice to see. And, you know, so many values. We all joke about this, like so many values from Papa. I remember last summer we're sitting at Alex's cottage. You know, we made a joke. How would, like, Alex is on his phone working real estate the whole time. And I think I looked at you, Jordan, and I said, I don't know how he does this with the real estate. And Jordan goes, well, we wouldn't be sitting at this cottage if he didn't. Fast forward an hour later, Alex's landscaper comes by. God bless this guy. He's probably 80-something. He looked like our papa. He had the old overalls. He's riding the ride more.
Yeah.
Alex's cell phone ends up in the lake.
Yeah.
That was a sign for papa. You know what? It's time to shut down. You guys can enjoy your time together. So they're with us all the time. We know that. And God love our nanny. She's hanging on for dear life. And they're always there for us. And we cherish them. And we've learned so much from them. And we want to just keep passing that on generation to generation.
I think from them, it was how they took care of the household and raised a family. I loved that Papa was the provider. And he was the type of guy, there'd be a dinner of 30 people. We'd be out at the Express eating in Stony Creek. And he'd quietly slip away, pay the bill, take care of his family. And it was always about his family. He never wanted to be the star of the show. He was quiet, very few words said, but his presence was strong. And you knew he was there and you knew what he was thinking. And he would never do wrong by anyone in sales and anything in life. He was very good to people. And yes, there will be the odd time that you're good to someone and that bridge may get burned, but you know not to go back. He was good to everyone, and it truly came full circle for him. People trusted him, and when he ended up at the end of his career in sales, car sales, why did people come to him? Because they trusted him. He was able to build that trust. And I think myself being in sales, although cars, real estate, a little bit different, there's a lot of similarities. And I think I took away a lot of his just like, be good to people. Yeah. It will come back around. Those are some of the biggest qualities I'd say that I tried to take from him.
Yeah, that's incredible. And, you know, I'd love to keep it, Alex, with you for a minute here. So, you know, why don't you tell people about how you got into your career and, you know, maybe we'll ask some questions about your football career, but just walk us through football, promoter in Hamilton, to real estate agent. And I got to tell you, man, I was, you know, haven't been a client of yours yet. When I come down Niagara Way or St. Burlington Way, I will be a client of yours.
Yeah.
Sam, if you're listening, we can talk about that later. That's my wife for anyone who doesn't know. I was at an event you held for your clients in Hamilton, I think at the old Westinghouse headquarters, if I have it correct.
Yeah.
And you had like over 150 people there.
Yeah.
I was blown away.
Yeah.
And I know how humble you are. I'm sure you were blown away too.
I appreciate that. Yeah, the support was really cool. So a little background for those that most likely don't know me, but started playing football at a young age. My brother coached me. All that stuff was good. I ended up going to McMaster to play football. I wasn't one of the stars by any means. I wasn't getting much attention at the time, which is all good. I transitioned to play rep football outside of McMaster.
Can I stop you for a second? So what do you mean you weren't getting the attention at the time for anyone that didn't know? Like, cause I remember in grade 11, grade 12, like I would come watch your high school, and actually people, I don't know if it's still on YouTube. You had a great video that was cut by your uncle. Shout out to Uncle Jim, is it Jimmy?
Yeah.
Shout out to him. I hope he listens to this, but it was awesome.
Yeah.
So no, were you just not getting any looks because of maybe your height or a shorter family, except Maddie?
Yeah, I know. We always
Let me speak to the football stuff. Before we get there, not to bring up a sour grape, Alex was ahead of the time in football. Alex is a very mobile, explosive quarterback. He played 5 years of high school. He won a championship every single year.
Except for.
Is this where the competitiveness, the two brothers come in? No, I love this. I love this because this is great. This shows who you guys are.
Yeah.
And you'll do this for any family member, friend, person of your league.
100%.
Neighbor, depending on who you are. This is you.
Yeah, 100%. Alex played 5 years of football. They won the championship every single year. They made Osso Bowls every year. The only year they didn't, Alex the quarterback, broken thumb, not there. Alex was ahead of the curve. He was a mobile quarterback back then. That was not sought after. If you watch football now today, you see most of the winning quarterbacks are mobile. So he's too humble to say that. He was one of the best quarterbacks to ever coach and watch as a brother. A lot of universities did him wrong. McMaster, you dropped the ball there, but we won't go into that. But it paved his life to do so much more, so I'll let him continue there.
Yeah, no, I wasn't really playing at the time, so I ended up...
You're talking about when you were in university, though? Because high school, you were the starter.
For sure, yeah. The flag football went really well. Maddie coached my team, obviously, to a world championship with Team Canada.
Where was that
when you won New Orleans, back in 2007. We shocked a lot of people, actually, being a team of six from Hamilton. We ended up beating Team USA, who was the heavy favorite of the tournament. And then we beat Team Mexico at what at the time was the Superdome, I believe, in New Orleans. And that was an incredible experience. We'll touch on flag football, I'm sure, a little bit more later. But our team was one of the first teams from Canada to ever win the world championship. Maddie being the youngest coach to ever do so at the age of 18. I was 13. I was the quarterback and the safety of the team. That's what kind of kickstarted the football career. And then in university, I ended up, someone reached out to me to essentially start promoting these nightclub events because I used to throw big keggers at our student house. So I was offered cash to essentially try to fill a nightclub. And I was like, this seems too good to be true. Anyway, so, you know, sure enough, on 3 days' notice, we packed a club one Saturday night. And then after a couple weeks of continuously doing that, I got more confident. I renegotiated my wage. And next thing you know, I was a student making incredible money by providing an experience, like a nightclub experience, booking the bottles, the booths, the guest list. And I think what I learned from that was customer service. And at the end of the day, like I was really selling myself in a sense, like I need you to trust me, book it with me. I'm going to make sure you have a great time. I'm going to take care of everyone. There's always hiccups throughout the night. There's so many moving parts when you're in that industry. So it was my job always to give the guest a great experience. And if something happened, I had to figure it out on the fly, how to fix this to make sure everybody was happy at the end of the night so that they want to come back. Yep. Those skills directly translate into real estate nowadays. And the biggest thing for me was working the nightclubs at the age of 20. There's a lot of people that end up stuck in that business because the cash is great. Yep. It's fun on the weekends until you wake up the next morning and you feel it. Yep. And people go down a bad path from that. And I knew that I was there as a job and I saw that it wasn't forever. Because when I saw the people that were in the nightclubs forever, for me, that wasn't the life I wanted. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but that wasn't what I saw for my future. Yeah. So I knew that it was a great opportunity to make my connections, to build up a network, to be good at my job. But then it ran its course. And after about the fourth year, I was tired of it. There's just so much you see, and I wanted to kind of get myself out of that scene. Luckily, by then, with Maddie's help and his guidance, we had purchased two investment properties. So this was back in 2017. We bought two properties in Niagara, thanks to him. And then I was looking for something different. We ended up playing football with a guy who owns the real estate team that I'm a part of called Team Grande. Mm-hmm. At Remax Escarpment, based out of Hamilton. And Maddie is also his name. He runs the team. He's kind of like another older brother to me. He said, why don't you get your license? I'll take you under my wing. And I think it'll be a great fit for you because you have such a strong network in the area. And I can teach you the ropes. So at the time, I took the courses. And it's now been 6 years for me.
Yeah, and shout out to Maddie Ade. I've met him many times. Yeah. Such a gracious human being, a nice, nice gentleman, and super successful at what he does. And I know he's been a mentor through and through for you.
Yeah.
Can I just ask you, I heard something, and I want to see if it's true. I think you said it at your event. Did he have a car that you jumped in with him and you were like, I want to be you? Can you just talk about that?
Yeah, that's fun. So we all played football together and we were doing a little guys' night out in Niagara Falls. We were meeting up to all carpool together, and because the guys were going out, he brought out the Maserati, which was one of his new toys at the time. And it's funny because he's always the guy driving a pickup truck. You wouldn't know necessarily, you know what I mean? A very humble car for where he's at in life. And he was driving me down there, and I just straight up told him, like, Maddie, I want to be you. And it wasn't the car. You have to know him to understand. He's the most generous, giving, humble person with an incredible family, a great wife, two awesome kids. It wasn't the car. It's who he is as a person. It's the life he's built. That's really what I looked up to. And when he kind of offered to, like, hey, I'll show you the way, how can I turn this down?
Well, and I know you're not in it for, you obviously do well, but you're not in it for the money's nice and having the cottage to invite all the family up, which you do, and have great memories. You're not in it just for the money. And no. I know that about you, Alex.
No, something about, it's funny. Real estate gives me as close to that high of sports. It's like constantly trying to win, battling for your clients, being a part of exciting moments. It's like, I couldn't make it as an athlete, and this just might have to be second best. And honestly, coaching with Maddie's League is right in that conversation too. It replaces that energy that you look for. And I always want more. I can't really just sit and be stagnant. So it gives me that opportunity to still chase that high.
That's amazing. And you know, that's a great segue, if you will, because, you know, I think sport meant so much to all of our lives. Maddie, you know, you're a rec therapist, but today I really want to focus on Niagara Youth Flag Football. How did you get into the world of flag? So, and how were you like, you know what? I'm going to create a league around this. Probably people thought you were crazy again.
So yeah, I mean, it started, you know, Alex touched on our history in Hamilton. We had a lot of good success down there playing flag football. I think we won like 4 straight national championships. Fast forward, I moved to Niagara. I started working at the Hotel de Shaver. I was coaching tackle football. I was coaching at a prep school back then, Canada Prep. Some really special players, Neville Gallimore, just signed with the Miami Dolphins. He's been with the Cowboys. And tackle, it was a great experience, but I was like, man, there's a lot of concussions, a lot of injuries happening. Like, I hate to say it, and I love tackle football. I promote tackle football. A lot of injuries were happening. And I was like, why isn't there flag football in Niagara? Like, in Hamilton, there's like 5 massive leagues. So I'm like, you know what? We're going to start flag football in Niagara. Like, they need this. So we started.
What year was that?
That was years
2020 or 2019?
Year before COVID. So I said, we're going to start flag football. So we had a lot of supporters from my hospital that I worked with, a lot of people there back then. We had 60 kids our first year. We had about 200 kids the next year. And then COVID hit. It was like, well, what do we do now? Interestingly enough, COVID helped us in the sense of, for some reason, tackle football and high schools weren't running. So then we gravitated towards the high school. We're like, these kids got to keep competing. Followed all the guidelines. You know, we played outside, did all the whole thing crazy, you know, putting footballs in buckets of hand sanitizer and all the crazy things we had to do to survive. And it really took off from there. And that was through the COVID era. Like, everyone's like, wait, so you started this year? And it was like, yeah, we really did. And, you know, fast forward, here we are getting ready for our spring season with almost 1,200 kids. We have 140 in our travel program that go all over North America. And no, I didn't envision this. I seen growth and opportunity. But really, like, the biggest success has been the people I've met and the people that have helped me grow it to this point. And, you know, they really believe in what I'm trying to do, and I believe in what they're trying to do. And I just have such an amazing team. I mean, you know, we did a coaching clinic. There's like 120 coaches there. It's like, where did these people come from? We don't know. We do our best job to make sure they're great. And we're just going to keep our head down and keep plucking away at it and just keep growing this.
That's amazing, Maddie. Like, and let's just, sometimes you got to pause. 1,200 players. And how many people do you normally get on a Friday night sometimes?
So, I mean, yeah, we've been prepping for our first Friday night. Like, with that many kids and families, like, we're going to probably be seeing 3,000 to 4,000 people rolling through. Just to paint a picture for you, last year we hosted our first ever international tournament. We had about 70 teams there, 10 teams from Mexico. And you treat that tournament like an event. And we're going to treat every Friday night like an event. Roads are closed, barbecues running, food trucks running, officials, St. John's Medical, all the bells and whistles, field staff. We have to treat every Friday night like it's a full-blown event with that kind of numbers. And I've learned this down south. You know, the States, they do this with their eyes closed, and they do such a great job. And everyone asks, like, what is it? And again, I'm a big believer in like, don't act like you know it all. Like I've learned a lot of these things down south, how they operate. You know, we were at a world championship tournament in Florida in January, 600 teams there, you know, like what are they doing? Okay, let's blueprint that. You know, and unfortunately, I think here in Canada, we're behind the eight ball a little bit. Like our Niagara Nitro program, people keep saying like, we're the headway of what teams are trying to do. And we really are, but we're just kind of copying what they're doing down south. I think as a country, we got to really get on board. The Americans play tackle football one season a year, and they do flag and touch. And where are 97 or 8% of the football players from in the pros? America. So we're, as a Nitro and Niagara Youth Flag Football, trying to replicate that because it's working, it's proven, and that's just what we're doing right now.
And, you know, you kind of glazed over to Niagara Nitro's going to Florida. You were both there. You know, maybe you can give us the date and ground us on what happened recently, who won, and just celebrate that for a minute.
Yeah, incredible experience. End of January, we went down. So it was a world championship. It was the biggest youth flag football tournament in the world. Like I said, over 600 teams. We brought 8 or 9 Nitro teams from Niagara. You know, it's funny. We've been going down to the States for about 2 years now. And you go down there and you're from Canada and they kind of laugh. They know we're behind. Well, the Nitros have really created a brand. Like, no, we're here. We're here to compete and we're going to do things. Our grade 11 group, it's a special group. Alex and I coach them going into this tournament. I think they won 4 straight tournaments. This was the world championships. It was the big one. We knew they can compete at the world-class level. They've shown it the whole time. Long story short, we played 7 games that weekend. These boys did not trail for a single minute. They beat everyone. You know, got to give props where props is due.
For a single minute, they didn't trail.
Not a single minute. We had a tough road. In the quarterfinals, we played a team from Quebec Flight School who beat us in the national championship 2 years ago. Great program, very talented. I would say them and Nitro right now are probably the two top programs in the country. That was a tough one. We got through them. Then we played a team from Mexico in the semifinals who we were steamrolling and we didn't trail, but they made it tight. They tied us and it went to triple overtime where we beat them. And then fast forward to the championship game, a very strong team from Florida where they have like 3 kids on their team that are all getting D1 offers. Quarterback 6'3", looks like an ex-Peyton Manning. That game was a little intimidating because that Florida team rolled everyone all weekend. I think they were the 1 seed. We were the 2 seed. And our boys did what they do. This group, very talented. You know, I got to shout out 3 special players of this team. Our quarterback, Noah Walters, Trent Dobbs, and Travis Boland. These boys are potential D1 players down south, and don't call me crazy, and that's our next goal. How do we get them and the other Nitro players exposure down south? Because they're that good. They played against the best of the best and they dominated, and that's my goal. Like, I want to do more for these kids because they deserve it, and these OUA schools, they should be drooling waiting for them. They might be too good for you. Like, these kids are talented, man, and I, because of my experience with Canada Prep and being in prep school situation, and Alex can speak to this too, we've been down south, we've seen the best of the best, this group right there's got it, and we have other kids down the program. And on that note, real quickly, I just want to touch on some of our girls' teams. Man, we got some world-class girls' teams right now. Like, we have some very high-end talented players. I'm going to, again, drop 2 names, Kate Hawkins and Tegan Clark. They're grade 9s. You're going to see about them. You know, there's 2 potential Olympians. Shiloh Ivory, 1 more. I got to give her a shout out. Younger, like grade 5. There is some world-class female players in our flag football league. And I'm just really excited to see what the future holds for them.
That's amazing. And, you know, congrats for that win. And I actually even remember when you were coaching and Alex was a quarterback. I think it was around my birthday in August. And I think we watched the stream of it in ESPN, St. Catharines. Yeah, on ESPN. Alex, you were down there. This was your first world championship win, being part of the coaching staff. Yeah. What was it like for you?
It was incredible. Like, the environment of what you're around. I mean, there's 600 teams at this tournament. This is no joke. And I mean, Travis Hunter was there, one of the, you know, most highly sought after college players in the States. This is, for them, this is huge. We're not playing any, you know, bad teams down there. Every single game is incredibly competitive. And these players that our players are going up against are players that are actively seeing Division 1, Division 2 offers, highly recruited guys. And all of a sudden, we're this team from Canada who they're supposed to beat. And then we line up. We don't necessarily look as good as they do, but the game starts. And next thing you know, they're surprised by us. And by the end of it, they respect it. They had no idea it was coming. A lot of it comes from Maddie's experience around the flag football game. He's obviously, since he was 18, he's been coaching flag football. And a lot of these guys are tackle football oriented. These are two different games we're talking about. Tackle football and flag football are very different. So I think he has separated himself from many coaches in the world. I mean, to win a world championship is one, yes, you have to have good players, but you have to have a phenomenal coach, because there's another level at that stage. And I think his experience in flag football game is what separated him. And it's why Niagara Youth Flag Football is different than any other flag football program in Canada. It's because of his experience in flag football. And there's no other program in Canada that has someone running it with his experience. So I think that alone is a huge selling feature to anyone else who wants to become something great at this game. And kids in the area that want to take flag football to the next level, because it really could be the future of football. Look at the Olympics.
Certainly could. And I want to go back to that, but let's keep an eye on you for a sec here. It's not a straight line. Look, man, you've been super successful in real estate, but it's not a straight line for anyone.
Yeah.
I know, you know, you've made some really, really good investments and had some tough times at times as well. Yeah. Is there anything you want to comment on in terms of what you've learned that you could pass on to the listener?
Yeah, I think you learn the most from your mistakes. That's the reality. And for me, I did make a few investments that you could call them mistakes looking back at them, because I got too invested.
Or learnings.
Yeah, or learnings. I got too invested while things were peaking in the real estate market and it seemed like it was only going one direction. And then all of a sudden, interest rates change and the market changes and prices are dropping 25% in about a year, give or take, with our market. So it's like, you know what? At that point, I got caught. I was overinvested. I had way too much debt on my hands in terms of mortgage debt. The variable rates hurt me and it caught me. But honestly, I was able to weather the storm. Mm-hmm. I learned a ton from it, and I'll know what to do if that situation presents itself again. And the one way to learn is to go through it yourself. So it's something valuable, I think, that I can pass along to my clients as well, yeah, who are maybe looking to invest and looking to grow their portfolio. But you know, the situations with different tenants and different rental properties and different investments in other cities, whether it be Airbnb, long-term rentals, and all that stuff, it's helped my knowledge incredibly. And it set me up to help other people even better. But there was a time there where these rates kept going up and my bank account kept going down, and it caught me. But again, you learn from it, you make better choices moving forward, and that's all you can do.
That's amazing. And thanks for so much for touching on that. Maddie, it's not a straight line. I think you had a shoulder injury, which might have got you to either launch flag or get into it more. Can you just quickly describe that time in your life?
Yeah, not a straight line is right, Jordan. It's funny, the podcast name, I'm sure this is copyrighted, because kudos to you. It's a fantastic thing. And really, when you think of life, like, nothing is. And if it was a straight line, I'm sorry, it was probably a boring life, right? Like, let's be honest. Dislocated my shoulder. I've now done it a fourth time, waiting for surgery.
So for you, it wasn't like three strikes, you're out. You had to go a fourth one.
So you want to hear a funny story about the fourth one? I was done playing football. We had a men's team with which we brought the high school kids up. And we had, Alex was hurt, so he couldn't really play. So the last time it happened, I was like, well, quarterback's fine. It's my right shoulder. Like, I always had it happen to me on contact. It was never from throwing a football.
And it was always your right shoulder?
Right shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
So one of our younger, actually Noah at the time, who's a way better quarterback than me, it's not even close. We had him play games, and it was hard for him at the men's league. It was very fast. So I played a couple games, started feeling good. Yeah, I'm feeling myself. Throw a poster out, boom, dislocates. And that was the most recent one back in September. This is when the football league's already fully booming, but take it back a few dislocations. I was like, I got to put my energy into something. I can't play football anymore. I love to compete. I love the brotherhood. And I really started pushing the league more. That's when it was like no longer just a house league. It was winter camp, summer camp, travel program. I needed it. Like, honestly, as much as football cost me a lot of pain and agony, my wife can attest, four dislocations later, it brought a lot of good and it allows me to be a coach and to be a mentor. And as much as I would love to be on the field playing, those days are done, being a coach is the next best thing. And, you know, we had a joke the other day with our players. I was like, have you ever yelled? You guys are like, no, you just yell at other coaches and referees. And that's the compete in me, but I'm so proud that I can do that and not towards my players, because we're seeing a lot of this nowadays, how hard coaches and life just is on players. And I never want to be that coach. I want to be that motivational, encouraging coach. They got enough to deal with. Life is not easy right now. It is not a straight line whatsoever. So if I can be that positive influence and help these young kids and get to where they want to be. And like I always say with football, and Alex touched on this earlier with Matty Ade and some of the men's that we played with on the men's team, they helped mentor Alex and I into better people and leaders and doing this in life. And that's what I want to do with these guys. You know, Alex and I took this team out east to PEI, this special group we have. And it was life lessons the whole weekend. It was fun and it was jokes and we had a great time. We're trying to help them. You know, football's probably not the end goal for 99% of them. How can we help mentor you? How can we get you in a career path, some free education? What can we do to help you guys? Because that's what I want to see. And that's where the fire comes out.
Yeah, just in you have that fire. And I did want to touch on something, like, you know, watching you, and Alex, you can attest to this, watching you play sports as a young guy, even up until sometimes with flag, you have a competitive fire. And sometimes, let's be honest, it comes out the wrong way. You're a great mentor, a leader. You're a someone people look up to, including myself, including Alex. If I can speak for you, Alex, how did you have to learn to maybe control that a little bit? And is there something you pass on to your players today from what you learned from your own experience?
Absolutely. First to admit, way too fiery. Like I joke, my head official now, who runs my officials for my Niagara Youth Flag Football Program, he used to ref me. And he laughs every time I'm saying something because he knows I probably called him every name in the book. And I look back on that. I'm not proud of that. You know, I'm not proud of the fire I had that was too much, too intense. But it's a life lesson, like anything. And it's really taught me, like, we're mentoring officials. We're mentoring coaches, young females, young males. We want to set a good example. And every time I coach, Alex laughed. I think in Florida, I was screaming at Alex because he was yelling at the refs. And he's like, when did this switch? Like, when did you become the calm guy? I have my league owner hat on now, right? I don't have that. Like, I have the coach hat on. I'm fiery, don't get me wrong. But it's like, what are we doing, right? We're building a generation up. And if I'm acting a certain way, that's the standard for my whole program. So I really have had to woosah, namaste, dial it back and realize the bigger picture, right? And I just really needed to do that. And I'm still trying. Listen, I have my moments. Trust me, I have my moments. But I'm actively trying to just be that positive force out on the field.
Alex, if I could flip it over to you for a sec, just on that same line, like you always struck me when you were playing, even though Matty was coaching a lot and super fiery. And you know what? That's what we love about you, Matty. And I think that's what a lot of people love about you. And you wouldn't be who you are without those experiences, those learnings. And I'm sure sometimes it worked in your favor and other times maybe you took a penalty and it did not work in your favor, right? Or someone got upset with you, like a family member, like a mother, father. I'm not sure, but Alex, where'd that calmness and confidence both in sports and in business, at least externally, I don't know if it's internally, come from?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think like overall, for the most part, our mom was a pretty calm source, I think, where I took that from. And I also grew up seeing my brother at a younger age go off the handle at times. Like, there's no question there. Matty in high school and around those times, he was a hothead. That's what it was. So I think it was almost like that was the role I had to play, because two of us would have been too much. And I think it's funny because I definitely keep that as much as I can, but I love to win too. And I'm very competitive when it comes to sports. And it's almost flipped a little bit in a sense where he's had to tone it down. And for some reason, I keep ramping it up. So on the sidelines, he's the one telling me now, like, you better stop. Like we've had a few situations, which we know we can laugh about now. At the end of the day, I know you've got to be able to compose yourselves. Yeah. Otherwise, you're not going to get the point across the way you want to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even when it comes to dealing with other real estate agents, dealing with clients, there's times where it's in me that I want to blow a gasket. It's like I'm saying things a million times, or they're just not absorbing it, or they don't want to absorb it. But it's all about how you get your point across.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you don't win from talking louder, right? You've got to just hammer the right points home. So I think it
took you a while to learn that one, eh?
35 years, pal, and still trying.
And I'm joking.
No, you're calling it the truth. And that's what we're here for. We're here for the truth.
But no, that's, yeah, it's one of those things that you keep working at and, you know, saying the right things and delivering them in a good way always ends up with the best result.
Well, and I couldn't be more grateful to have you both, firstly, as cousins in my life. You guys were groomsmen at my wedding in 2023. And to be sitting here asking these questions and you guys answering them very vulnerably and openly. So thank you for that. I want to end with a few last questions. Like, Alex, if someone's listening to this who wants to get into real estate as a sales rep, and, you know, interest rates are still high. People are having affordability problems in Canada. People are immigrating to the country. People say, well, there's a housing crisis. There might not be. We don't need to get in that. That can be a future episode. What's your advice to people that might think about real estate and be scared that you got to make your way on commission?
Yeah. It's a relationship business. And at the end of the day, you got to think about how you approach everyone. Because you can't just get your license one day and expect your phone to ring. People need to have good experiences with you. So they need to be able to look back and like, oh, wow, I loved my experience with that person in whatever aspect it was in life. Did you just leave a good impression because you were super honest with them? You were super friendly. You followed up. You asked them about their day. You listened. You didn't just speak about yourself. Leave a good impression with everyone that you're around. And at the end of the day, they want to do business with people that they can relate to, people that they trust and that they like. So if you were never that type of person, you can't just get your license and expect those people to want to work with you. So be good in every aspect. Always be good to people. And that will come full circle.
Such a brilliant answer. And, you know, I think that you focus mainly on Hamilton, Stony Creek, Burlington, Oakville, maybe even some stuff to Niagara. Yep. If anyone wants to either discuss with you about what it's like to become a sales rep or they want to use your services,
yeah,
how do they follow along your journey, maybe where you are on social, or how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, super easy to get a hold of. Instagram is like a big one for me. So at AlexHill14, very easy to find on Facebook as well, or by phone if you just Google it. I've connected with a lot of young people who want to get in the business that have questions, because it's only been 6 years for me, so it hasn't been a long time. But I've been able to achieve a lot in those 6 years, luckily, in this field, because of the people that kind of made that path for me and gave me the tools to succeed early on. So I've been talking to a lot of younger people thinking about getting their license, or people that want to get in the market, and I love helping those kind of people. So if anyone ever wanted to reach out, I'm all ears, happy to set up a call anytime.
Thanks for that, Alex. And I know you're always willing to support, mentor, and coach, whether it's in football or in business or life, the next generation. Maddie, what about you? If anyone's interested in Niagara Youth Flag Football, or they want to discuss how you started a league, how you found your way in sports business. I don't even think that was your goal. Maybe you're a big athlete, but you never said to me like, yeah, I'm gonna be in the sports biz, in the youth grassroots sports biz. But if they want to get in touch with you, are you open to it, and how can they reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. Niagara Youth Flag Football. My wife always laughs because I'm constantly mentoring other league owners and what they're doing. And it's just, I want to see the game grow. Like, you know, one thing I'll leave you with is flag football is a beautiful sport and it's growing so much, but there's a lot of people trying to take advantage of the sport financially and at all ends. And, you know, I'm seeing these flag football leagues, $300 for like 8 weeks, and it drives me crazy. And maybe I need to up my price of $175, but I want this sport to be accessible for all. I want to see everyone involved in it, and I want to see great community leaders grow the sport the right way. So yeah, we're always hopeful to get that growing. I want to quickly thank you, Jordan, before I get there. You know, you're a huge mentor in my life and my business and everything I've done. You've always been one I can call, whether I want to talk about sponsorship, business, finance, football, whatever, you're always there for us. And like my brother is, we know that. But it's kind of like I have two brothers in the room, so this is super fun and cool to do. And I'm super proud of you and everything you've done. So I just wanted to leave you with that as well.
Thanks, man. Tons of gratitude for that comment. Thanks for the kind words. And you know, it's a mutual feeling and a brotherhood with all of us here. I'm going to hit you with three zigzag questions. You're both going to get a chance to answer each. And a phrase or one word. These are just quick hits. We bottom line the answers, and that's how we close out the It's Not a Straight Lad podcast. So, growth of flag football. It's going to be in the Olympics in 2028. Maybe in a phrase, where do you think the sport goes by 2030? Or maybe a few phrases. Matt, let's start with you.
Canada winning gold.
And are you the coach? I hope you are. You
as don't long as there's that. No politics, I would love to be. Yeah. Whether it's me or someone else, I want it to be the best coach, no politics.
And I think in some way you've got to be involved with that team, Matt. Even if you're not the head coach, like 2028 LA, I don't know if you agree, Al, but I want to see you involved in some way with Team Canada.
If he is, I'll be there. In 6 years, by 2030, too. I think it very well, there could be a professional league at that point.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's a great way to bottom line that comment. Maddie, what's a phrase or a word you've learned from your bro here, Alex?
Lots, man, lots. He's calm.
We could do a whole podcast on that.
Yeah, we could. I think patience. Can I say patience?
That's beautiful. Okay. Patience. And I've been learning that myself too.
Yeah.
Flip the page. What have you learned from Maddie?
I think the one thing from him is that you can really carve your own path. Like this football stuff wasn't something that happened 30 years ago. He picked this up on his own, went to Niagara, saw a demand, filled that demand, and now look where it is. Like he just totally did that on his own. So I think carving your own path.
All right, and we're going to close this out with some energy here. Boys, so pumped you were on the podcast. It's not a straight line. You've got a beautiful daughter named Haley. It's your niece. Alex, let's flip it to you first. From a life and career, if you're sitting with Haley when she's graduating college or university, you're 18.
Yeah.
What is the advice you want to pass on to your niece?
Find something that you love. And don't settle for anything more than that in a career. Because that's a little bit about what we've been talking about. And I think that's where Maddie's found his niche in the football league. I've genuinely found something I love with real estate. You're following a passion with this. And I think when it's something you love, like we're passionate talking about this. We're here talking about our jobs and we enjoy this. How many people can say that they'd love to do a podcast about what they do for work? So I'm just going to tell her that whatever it is in life, it doesn't have to be what they tell you to do in school. Find something you love and stick to it.
You know what's coming to you. What do you tell your daughter 16 years from now?
This is why I don't like following suit Alex, man. He's got the words. First of all, I'm so proud of her. Everything she does, she just lights my world up. You know, I don't want to piggyback on what Alex said, but it's true. Like, you know, you got to love what you do. Like, I'm not going to say I didn't like my job. I liked my job at the hospital. I truly did. But everyone says nowadays, like, man, you're different. Like, I'm just so much lighter. I'm so much happier teaching kids football, being around kids, being around that positive. You got to love what you're going to do. And in saying that, it doesn't happen by just saying I love what I do. You've got to put in some time. You've got to work, right? Like, you know, I've worked a very good career.
You got to have that patience, as someone might have taught you.
Patience. They got to be there. Like, did I want to be at the hospital for 15 years full time? Maybe not, but I had to. I had to do that to buy the houses. I had to do that to invest in real estate. And now it all opened things up. So do what you love, but be patient and just see where that path takes you. And then end up on It's Not a Straight Line podcast and it will all start making sense.
Well, and we didn't even touch on it. It's a future episode, but Maddie just went more casual at Shaver and have jumped into the league in a full-time capacity. So congrats for making that leap. As someone once said on this podcast, and we can go back to it, it's Jason Taylor. He said, sometimes you got to just jump in the cold water and let it warm up around you.
Yeah.
So, boys, thanks for being on. It's not a straight line. I think the tattoo you guys got is Brother's Keeper.
Yeah.
And that might be the name of the episode.
Brother's Keeper.
Brother's Keeper.
Thanks for being on, boys. Appreciate it. And thanks to the listener for listening.
Enjoy.
Thanks, Jordan.
What did you take away from our chat today? I'd love to know. Let me know on Instagram at It's Not a Straight Line or connect with me on LinkedIn. If this episode was helpful, would you mind leaving me a review on whatever podcast app you use? I'd really appreciate it. You can always go back to previous episodes to hear more insightful conversations to help you build your own unique life. Thanks for listening to It's Not a Straight Line. Until next time.